Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show, the fall, first of fall edition, right after the equinox. I'm your host, Phil Huff. Delighted to be in the studio again today, and we have a great show coming up. We're going to be talking about the Sandpoint Mental Health Awareness Week coming up first week of October with a couple of great guests from SAFE and NAMI Far North. First, we're going to take a quick look at the weather because things are in transition. It's been cooler the last couple nights. We had our propane stove on for the first time last night. The cats sure loved it. But today it is a back to a high of 75 degrees and sunny. Tonight, a low of 52. Tomorrow, 81 degrees. So we do get a little last blast of late summer. We're going to have highs in the 80s and 70s for the rest of the week, lows clearing, and then the 50s and 40s. And then it's going to start to turn cooler next week, but hell, we'll worry about that then. With us now in the studio, we have Steve Klatt from NAMI Far North, board member. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good morning, Phil. Good.
I'm sorry. I'm going to do that one more time with your mic on. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Phil. Yeah. Good to be here. Thank you for inviting us.
And Andrea Marcaccio from the fairly newly formed SAFE organization.
Yes. Good morning.
Tell us what SAFE is.
SAFE is a nonprofit dedicated to serving the LGBTQ plus community in Sandpoint. We offer year-round programming to fulfill our mission, which is to dismantle hostility, increase equality, and cultivate inclusion for the LGBTQ plus community throughout Idaho.
And it's short for?
Sandpoint Alliance for Equality.
For Equality. Very good. So since we've started you off talking, Andrea, just tell us a little bit more about yourself and your role in the community. Many people will know you from other things. You seem to have many hats you're wearing, but we often have listeners who are new to Sandpoint. So let's take a little a deeper dive into Andrea.
Yeah, so moved here just about 10 years ago now, just under 10 years ago. One of the founders and co-owners of Matchwood Brewing Company over in the Granary District. And my background before living in Sandpoint was community organizing, mainly around LGBT rights and pro-democracy work, and did that all over the country, and found myself meeting a rural gentlefolk, my husband, Kendon, who's born and raised in Knoxon, Montana, which is how we kind of got to the area. We got married over there, spent a lot of time in western Montana before buying a home here and opening a business in town, and one of the kind of visions of Matchwood and to continue to use my community organizing skills and background was to be engaged deeply in the community with not just things we do at Matchwood, but also with what I do with my free time. So I'm a founder of Sandpoint Pride, which celebrated its fifth anniversary this year in July. If you were there, it was one heck of a celebration, a joyful time for all in the community. And as a result of founding Sandpoint Pride, we heard directly from the Queer Plus community in Sandpoint that a year-round org that supported queer folk and allies and families impacted by kind of the negative mental health outcomes, just the experience of living in a rural town as a queer person, was a huge gap. So SAFE is the first year-round LGBT plus forward organization. We have had folks like PFLAG around in the past, but those are volunteer led, and we actually have paid staff now. So it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. That is exciting. The evolution of organizations, that often takes a while.
So. Oh, yes. Yeah. Still taking.
Yeah. And so it's an interesting combination of things, I think. And people who visit Matchwood frequently know that there's a real community emphasis on it. But weave that in a little more to how things flow in your life and your interests.
Yeah, so I also have two small children at home. I have a 2.5-year-old and a 4.5-year-old who are in the prime of all the development and things. So, you know, my day-to-day looks like is just kind of caring for them and getting them off to school and then heading to Matchwood and then spending a lot of time on all the things that make production and full service restaurant go around, as well as event center, as we like to say, a community hub. And then spend a lot of my free time doing, you know, board level things. So I'm the chair of SAFE. And so hosting board meetings and putting those materials together as we continue to fundraise. But then for fun, we spend a lot of time at local parks in the summer down at the beach. And I mentioned that my husband is from Knoxon, so we have kind of a close getaway over there where we can get out in the woods and camp. And that's kind of our reprieve because it's really quiet over there. So when we feel like we've really done the rat race too long, we get out over to Knoxon.
Not far away, but yet it seems like it's a long distance away in some ways.
It's in another time zone.
It's in another time.
You got to time travel to get there. And the thing I like about it is when you go, you know, you lose a little bit of time when you head to Montana. But on the way home, you can leave Knoxon at exactly the time you'd like to arrive in Sandpoint.
Yeah.
And that hour is magic. It's an hour trip, an hour time change. It's a magical thing. So
I know some people who live there and commute here who basically, they just live on one time zone or the other. They don't try to deal with that time change.
Yes, so. For sure. We do have scheduling conflicts often around when dinner starts when we go to Knoxon because we forget that we're on different time zones.
Well, before we get into the events of the week, Steve, let's turn to you. Tell us a little bit about Steve Klatt, who, again, has worn many hats in the town and county of Bonner, the town of Sandpoint and county of Bonner. Tell us a little bit about your general background and then how you've come to become involved with NAMI Far North.
Well, NAMI Far North attracted me when I was a young person, 12 years old. I lost a brother in the lake. And the effects of that with my mom were a lifelong affliction of dealing with mental health. And I always just told myself that when I had time, I would make a contribution to the mental health community around Sandpoint, the support community that brought me into NAMI. Idea of how long I've been in the community, Phil, I was elected to the city council 50 years ago. And so I've been a county commissioner, been involved with the community in a number of ways, ended up retiring from running the Bonner County Road Department. So been around a bit. I really do want to thank Andrea and Matchwood. They do make a real significant contribution to the community, and that's nice. Appreciate that. Let's appreciate it all over.
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
So tell us about NAMI. What let's start with the history of the organization and a little bit more about what attracted you to it as an organization.
Well, you know, there's several things. But what I noticed as a youngster among my own family, and it was a large family, there were 10 children in that family originally, but when my mom really started having mental health issues, and those conditions were barbaric. I mean, it was electric shock treatment in an institution when I was a kid, which is now 50-some years ago, 60 years ago. But we've come a long ways. But the stigma that's always been around mental health and mental health issues, I watched it in my own family. I watched the effects it had on my siblings. And I just, that's one of the things that NAMI really tries to do is just engage the conversation. The Sandpoint NAMI Far North is an organization that was started in 2007. So it's approaching 20 years old in this community. But it's a support group for trying to engage both the interaction of people with mental health issues. And, you know, they figure that 1 in 5 people have experienced some mental health condition either personally or in their immediate families. That's 1 in 5. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they figure 1 in 20 people deal with a mental health condition of some significance all the time. Mm-hmm. So it impacts, you know, quite the community. We try to serve Bonner and Boundary County. And so that, I just thought, my background really is more in business and business organizations, and I offered my services with a background in organizational structure to help NAMI with their business structure more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, that 1 in 5, I'm going to guess, is even a low estimate, just casually talking to people. And having hosted a number of morning shows over the years on various aspects of the topic, it touches everyone's lives.
It does.
And you know, I think we're going to talk a bit about how to normalize it, but just to set the tone for that in a little bit of a way, I think that it's important to recognize it's not a static condition that either is or isn't a definition of a person, that throughout our lives, we experience a variety of illnesses personally, and mental health is one of those.
Right. It would be a major accomplishment in our country if we get to the point where mental health is truly looked at as no different than physical health. It's a health condition. It can ebb and flow and wane and wax and all of the things that any other health condition does. But just the fact that it's it's around as part of someone's life, as part of your life. It doesn't have to be anything more than a condition. We don't get all upset if we have a cold. It's the same sort of thing. It's just a health condition. So hopefully that's out of all this, we just continue to improve that conversation.
So NAMI is a chapter of a national organization, and it's been here for about 10, 12 years now?
It's actually now would be 18 years. 2007 is when, NAMI Far North was formed. And it is the National Alliance. There's 1,000 affiliates in the nation of NAMI Internet, of NAMI, the NAMI Alliance. Mm-hmm. And so we're one of 1,000, and we represent, we try to work with, there's one in Kootenai County. We try to work with Bonner and Boundary County.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about some of the programs and services that NAMI offers.
Well, we have our family-to-family support groups or peer-led groups where we have a monthly meeting. It's at the VFW, the third Wednesday. And it's a chance for people to get together. We bring in speakers to talk about the community and programs and features that are in the community. And then there's a breakout group for peer-to-peer discussions with people and bringing an alliance. And then the other one of the programs that NAMI has initiated now, and it's about a year old, but that's the Sand Creek Clubhouse on 4th, North 4th. And that's a facility that is really set up to try to help people dealing with mental health conditions be able to collectively gather, learn. It's a work-structured program. So it's a socially structured work program with the idea of trying to integrate people back into the workforce and leading productive lives through a structure.
Mm-hmm. And that's a fairly new endeavor.
That's a fairly new endeavor. And as with all, when you start doing a facility with staff, it becomes an endeavor. Mm-hmm. And really do want to get credit Don Mara, who is the president of NAMI Far North and Sandpoint and out of the town at the time right now. But she has been a driving force both in funding and structure, and it comes from her own family relationship to mental illness and mental health. But she has she's done an incredible job of driving community support for and founding that organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Wish Dawn could be here with us today, but you're doing a great job of representing.
Well, thank you, Phil.
Tell us a little bit about this week coming up, what it's all about. Maybe give us an overview of the intention of the week and the events.
Well, I think just mental health awareness is really the intention of it. And the week kind of starts with Andrea's Safe Group, and then it goes into the Ethan Murray. And so maybe it'd be good to start with what is the event that you are doing on the first?
Yeah, so we're kind of focusing on engaging and building community with kind of the next generation, 13 to 18-year-olds. So the event is a teen crafternoon at Evans Brothers. And the idea is that gathering in community is a really great preventative way to feel kind of the impacts of the season that's coming up, you know, the kind of shorter days, darker, more isolation, and that teens really thrive when they feel safe and have a community around them. Safe, of course, is a queer forward organization, but this event is for anyone in the community who's ages 13 to 18. We're going to provide snacks and materials and build some really great crafts together and to spend some quality time getting to know the face of the next generation of Sandpoint, and talking a little bit about mental health and what that means. And I think we're going to be in a bit of a more listening role at this event because we know teens have a lot to say. So it'll be a great day.
And that's on
Wednesday, October 1st, 4:30 to 6 p.m. at Evans Brothers.
And do you have crafters coming in?
Yeah, we have a few folks who actually are on our board. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just a Sandpoint skill, but we have a vast list of people who love crafting, and we have some specific projects we're going to do. And we do a similar thing at Pride, and it's really popular. Young kids just love to come get their hands on like friendship bracelets and things like that. So yeah, we'll provide all of those things. And when you get there, all you have to do is plug into the activity you're most excited about.
I do. The teens need to sign up in advance or just show up?
Just show up with your kind heart. And we'll have adults present from our board and team to be help navigating the room and keeping things awesome.
Excellent. Nothing like a little coffee and crochet.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to get into crochet. That seems like a high skill for an hour and a half event. But I think there'll be like pipe cleaners and things to keep it simple and safe.
Coffee and crafting.
Okay. Then what's up next on the list of events?
Well, then on Thursday night, then the Ethan Murray Foundation, and I believe they're doing a program on the radio.
They'll be on in a couple days.
Right. So I'll let them say those details. But they're doing a movie at the Panada.
Okay.
And so that is Thursday night. And then Friday night, we're bringing in a lady, Marion Feldman, who is a very interesting woman and a renowned and a known speaker, mental health advocate. But she has an interesting background. She is an artist. She's a writer. And she also, the same thing, has drawn many of us to the mental health picture, his personal association with mental health conditions and how it affects her family, and has made her quite an advocate. She has written and really has become quite a well-known speaker. She's a lady from Washington. So she's coming in on Friday night, and that's at the Little Panada Theater program. There is, you can register with NAMI Far North, but there's no fee for the, and this is a program that we hope will attract some of the professionals and some of the people who are in the business around, and then that leads us into the walk.
So that starts at what time?
That starts at six o'clock to 7:30 at the Little Panda.
And is advanced registration required,
or no?
Can folks show up?
Yeah, okay. It's always appreciated, but it's not required.
Okay. And that's Miriam Feldman.
Feldman, yes.
Okay. Great.
And then Saturday is our NAMI walk, and that's at Matchwood. And that the walk starts registration 9:30, and it's kind of 10 to 12 as a walking place. And there'll be music, and there'll be coffee, and it's a social gathering. Once again, just the fellowship of community gathering in support of awareness for and the acceptance of mental health and social in the community around. So that's what that is about.
The walk's not a competitive event, I wouldn't imagine.
No.
Tell us a little bit about the walk.
Well, the walk we encourage teams. And here, for example, so I'll sponsor a team, and I name the team for my mother, but the only person I've gotten on the team is myself. But so there are community teams. It's a fundraising event. We have sponsors for it. It's a 2-mile walk, and of course, it's all optional. It's not a competition, and it's following the bike path. And it's just a way to walk and to have a social conversation with somebody. Frequently, it's pretty easy to start a conversation with someone you don't know in that situation, and have a pleasant walk, and come back and have a cup of coffee and. So that's really what it is. It's really and truly just a social outing. Hopefully the weather cooperates, but this is North Idaho.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's October, so we're edging into that season of uncertainty.
Yes. And so as the old-timers say around here, there's no such thing as bad weather. There's only bad clothing.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, wait 5 minutes.
Sometimes longer than that, I think, as Phil can know in some of his outdoor activities.
I have to wait a little longer. But or just not worry about it.
Yes, yeah. And clothing is the important factor. And then Winter Ridge is also on the 4th on that Saturday, is also sponsoring their neighborhood fair.
Yeah.
And that's
before we go into that, after the walk, there's events back at Matchwood.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, there's primarily music. So Rob Pierce's band, One Dog Down, is playing, and there'll be speakers. Those speakers are minimal, but it's really a social engagement. Mm-hmm. So that's really what it is, a time to get a cup of coffee, get a beverage, and engage in conversation.
I'm seeing on the list luncheon awards. What kind of awards?
Now that one is you've now gone beyond.
Okay. We're not sure.
Yeah,
I guess we'll have to come to find out.
I think that's okay. It.
Right. I can add a little bit about the speaking program. I know Don will be speaking, but then this is kind of where SAFE and NAMI Far North are partnering for this event, which is great. Amy Midstock, who is a board member for Sandpoint Alliance for Equality, will be one of the featured speakers. And if you don't know Amy, she's a fantastic storyteller and writer, columnist, journalist, local outdoor phenomenon. And former off the gritter. She now has electricity. I can confirm that. But she's going to speak, I think, from firsthand experience as well as stories she's collected over her long history of working with members of our community who are impacted by mental health. She used to run her own private practice, doing both kind of nutrition-forward mental health care. So she has a long history of knowing what it's like to live in Sandpoint and be impacted by mental health. So I'm really excited to hear what she has to say.
She's a good speaker and a great writer. And thank you for filling in for me because as I looked through the handful of paperwork I brought, I didn't bring the walk program. I was going, okay, there's one oversight.
Yeah, there's always one that's elusive.
So thank you, Andrea, for coming me on that one. I appreciate that.
A small assist.
That was a major one.
And then in the afternoon, there's stuff going on at Winter Ridge.
Right. And so they have done this neighborhood fair for a number of years now, and I can't say that which we, but it's vendors and they all have food, and so then they do a gathering in the afternoon, and that starts before noon, so one can have a social health, and Winter Ridge is also very supportive of both NAMI Far North, and they're just a community support organization. They really do return to the community around them, so this is a chance. They bring in their vendors, and they have a just community fair and music. If I remember, maybe Harold's IGA is playing there that afternoon.
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
Be great. Good.
Yeah, they're always a lot of fun.
They are.
Good. Well, I think that is a pretty good overview of the events for the coming week. We have a lot more we can talk about with regards to mental health awareness. And Will, let's first take a little song break, and then we can circle back to some of the more generalized topics. So for those who are just tuning in this morning on The Morning Show, we're talking about the Sandpoint Mental Health Awareness Week. Coming up October 1 to 4 with Steve Klatt, board member of NAMI Far North, and Andrea Marcaccio, one of the board members and founders of Sandpoint Alliance for Equality. Right now we're going to listen to a little bit of John Craigie. And we're back here in the studio talking about Mental Health Awareness Week in Sandpoint, coming up in October with Steve Klatt from NAMI Far North, Andrea Marcaccio from SAFE. And let's return to the conversation about mental health in general, some of the challenges we face across the nation, but maybe especially here locally in a rural community, and then a little bit about some of the resources we have to be able to deal with those challenges. And I don't know who wants to pick it up first. I'm looking at you, Steve.
Well, it is really a challenge. I mean, we've been resource thin. I think as a nation, we're resource thin. As a state, we're resource thin. There's not a lot of state resources put into mental health issues, mental health support. I think in our community right now, we're quite fortunate. Kinnexu Health has really stepped up the game, and I really do commend them. And it's nice to know, and I've mentioned this to people, recommended people to reach out to Kinnexu, because they really have brought really just an amazing plethora of resources to fill the voids that have not been in this community. And it's really quite nice. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, I just, you know, we have some great individual providers who I think are overburdened to kind of meet the needs of our community. And so that additional support has been really, really great. Just access in general, I think, is like the baseline challenge of getting in and seeing a provider who can help you navigate if you're in a difficult mental health moment or time. So, yeah, and I pulled up some just, I think, startling but real statistics. The Trevor Project is a organization nationally that not only provides resources and a hotline for kind of younger and queer individuals, but also does a lot of like data-based information gathering so that we can talk about the facts of the impacts and just, you know, once again, you know, if the dream was that mental and physical health were indistinguishable and we were treating those the same, we wouldn't have to prove that mental health challenges exist. But these research studies show that even in rural communities, the queer community are highly impacted. So, it says that queer youth are half as likely to say their community is supportive in a rural area. So that's half as likely means only 34% of queer youth in rural America think their community is supportive of them. And as a result, we see mental health impacts. And, you know, obviously more likely to consider suicide, not only if you're queer, but if you live in a rural place on top of that. And then, of course, like I was mentioning, have less access to mental health care, with only 47 of those who wanted to get care be able to get it. In rural communities. So if more than 50% of the population needs support and doesn't have it, then we do have a big gap. And a lot of work to do, but also really thankful for the folks who are, you know, leading the way.
And Phil, I had something I wanted to add. I just happened to think about this, and you may not recognize this, but at certain ages as I've matured, if I have a thought, I like to get that thought on the get it out there
before it's replaced. I find a pen helps with that and a piece of paper.
Well, if you notice, yes. I carry note cards in my pocket for just that reason. Yeah. But that was in a program with EMS, and I want to commend also our EMS providers here in Bonner County, but they have really stepped up their game of awareness that mental health issues are different than other issues. And the other one of the points they made in a presentation they made to the NAMI gathering was that it's really important if you happen to be in a family situation, social situation where mental health is the issue, that you when you make a 911 call because you know you need assistance, to identify that the situation is a mental health situation. And that way if when the response team comes in, it is led by EMS and not by law enforcement. And it can be a huge difference. And so EMS has been training more extensively in dealing with mental health issues. So it's really important if any of the listeners just happen to hear this. But if you do happen to be involved where there's a mental health crisis and you are calling 911, identify it clearly as a mental health issue. And it changes the response to that situation. So I think that's important.
Yeah, that's a great tip for crisis management. And as with the physical health, mental health takes on a wide range of things that have gradations from mild to moderate to a crisis. And also important to recognize before a crisis, or if we can do things to stem off the progression of a disease or illness or affliction before it becomes a crisis, all the more important to do that. How do we go about identifying that within ourselves and within our neighbors? How do we create that connection?
I think that's one of the things that NAMI nationally has really focused a fair amount of attention on, and that's the education, the identifying, and helping understand. I think one of the real issues that always happens in mental health among families is sometimes this is not something that it suddenly appear at times when you don't expect it, right? It's not something that appears in necessarily the teenage years. It can appear in a young adult. Mm-hmm. It can appear in a mature adult. And not understanding what it is truly one of the biggest issues for family and friends around, is just really and truly not understanding the condition. And NAMI has programs that are just that, of trying to identify and understand the condition and understanding the response. And that's one of the things I think with mental health is, with any mental health issue and condition, and trying to, as you say, take it, if you can start to have an interaction with it, but you need to understand what it is, and there are different ways to interact with different conditions. And I am not a psychologist, sociologist, or a social worker, they're just trying to understand the basis of what that issue might be and how the responses are more productive and less productive.
I think that's true. I think there's also a need to get over the mentality of, oh, just deal with it, just buck it up, and remove the stigma of seeking help.
That is a big one, Phil. That really and truly is a big one. I mean, it for mental health issues particularly, that stigma within us all is when you are feeling really troubled, even in this room, it's which of us would reach out to go, maybe I should just go talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. And that is, that's, you mentioned that, Andrea, that you have someone that you refer to and confer with. But, I mean, I've lived with the bucket-up theory of life all my life, and it has worked for me. It does not work for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it's also there's some generational change happening where I do think the education work that folks like NAMI and are doing, and we're hearing younger people earlier be able to identify, that a mental health event is occurring or that they're experiencing mental health challenges. And so hopefully with leadership of, you know, I think it's modeling good behavior is like what our responsibility is to do is to get up and do the thing that we want our kids to do.
It's
get some help.
Being able as an individual group society to talk about some of the root causes and some of the red flags. And I was reading a very thoughtful article recently about insomnia, which I suffered from last year and had never really suffered from it. So I'm a night owl, and there's a difference between getting very little sleep and all of a sudden being completely sleep deprived. And so it's something that's fascinated me for the last year. Anyway, the gist of the article was that there's some outstanding statistics, but something like currently 15% of Americans suffer from insomnia. And it's easy to read that if you don't have it and ignore that and just go, okay, well, they just occasionally don't sleep. But there are underpinnings of that that are physical and have physical manifestations. And there are often frequently responses to that that are frontline medications. You know, we take an Ambien and all of a sudden we're over that. But the root cause hasn't been removed. And the gist of this article is cognitive behavioral therapy in most cases is able to at least get the individual to a position where they can manage it. And to me, that's a doorway to a conversation about how we destigmatize behavioral therapy.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the other thing, I think what you're pointing out to is I think I don't know this because once again, I'm not a clinician and it's not my profession, but from my own experience, insomnia, lack of sleep, that wakefulness at the night that becomes insomnia and trying to get your brain to shut down. But those are the conditions when you have a mental health condition. You tend to go from exhaustion to your mind being wired and amped and you're not sleeping. And without rest, it's hard to deal with any condition.
Right.
And that's... Phil, if you experience insomnia, that's probably what you're finding. You begin to fragment in all parts of your life because you don't have enough rest to have your balance.
Major sleep deprivation does incredible, not in a good way, things to the mind and body.
Yeah. Yes.
And it is only one way that mental illness might manifest itself in ways that do have a combination of how it impacts us physically, how our mental health can impact us physically, does impact us physically. And we look at the rise of heart disease, you know, for example, I think is so often the parallel links between that and mental health and stress and anxiety and its relation to heart disease are overlooked.
Yes. You know, when you were talking about insomnia, but I had to think about a younger sister and she said, she was describing when she finally decided she had to go see a doctor about mental health. And she said, when I was up at 3 a.m. and decided I had to start painting this bedroom for the third time, she said, well, I think I really need some help here.
Yeah.
And it was just that was just insomnia and just the driving force of your neurons not being in balance. Yeah. And that's basically what happens with any kind of mental health and nervous, disorders. So
I think it's easy to look at a rural community and see that we're physically at times more isolated. And so there's less interaction, so less opportunity for people to observe within themselves, others, the situations that might be helpful to resolving a mental health situation or a physical health one. But also in our rural situation, we just simply have fewer care providers per capita. To me, those are a couple of the more obvious challenges we face. I'm sure there's others. Do you want to carry on with that?
I can't, you know, that didn't really bring much to mind, but I just know that our lack of care providers in this community was a huge obstacle to overcome. And that's, you know, you frequently hear of people who have a child or a family member that basically is in a condition to a crisis wherever, and trying to get to see a clinician, and they're talking about, well, it'll be 30 days, 60 days, 90 days before you can get care. And that's at the point you finally have recognized you need care and need help. So, I mean, it's all of that. I think one of the things, Phil, and you certainly have lived this, but for all of us, getting outside, getting away from screens, getting some kind of exercise away from all distractions. Social media, I think, has got huge negative implications to mental health. Mm-hmm. And it, because there's so much feedback and it's coming at you so fast. And getting life really is... Yeah.
And it creates unattainable standards. The fear of missing out, we're judging ourselves by our high school friends' success. You know, these are
perceived.
Not healthy.
And it's not
perceived. Yes,
yes, it's because who knows what they're presenting as their success, and if it's real.
COVID, I think, if did nothing else, it really had us examine the value of getting outside. During the so-called lockdowns, the release for so many people was now to turn outside and go for a walk, whether it was close by or further afield, and the obvious benefits of that, the benefits that seem so obvious for those of us who have had a lifetime of it, I think really became apparent to others. But then for us to remember that connection between the healing power of nature, the physical act of walking, the mental aspects of getting out and just breathing deeply a few breaths into the fresh air, you know, these are things that I don't think can be overstated.
Yeah, I want to just uplift some safe programming that kind of overlaps with this idea of gathering and getting outside and doing something healthy and moving our bodies. This year at Pride, we launched kind of an outdoor series called Pride Outside, and we went up to Pine Street Woods. Mm-hmm. We had some great partners up there, and we just simply kind of put a name to it and said, let's get outside. This is a component of our programming, and we got some great feedback, and we are going to be running kind of what I would say regular, it's not like every week, but regular Pride Outside programming. So our next outdoor activity is called Stride with Pride, and it will be a hike on Gold Hill on October 25th at noon. And the idea is that if you're interested in just getting outside within community and with people to feel safe and surrounded and not have to take that step by yourself, that we can provide some local leads who know the area and can and take you on a, it's going to be about a 2-hour hike in and out up Gold Hill, and not too strenuous. Nice. but yeah, just kind of regular programming. So seasonally, the type of activity will change. So a hike in the fall, we're thinking about doing some sort of mountain activity in the winter, maybe cross-country skiing in the spring, doing a run, and then once again coming back outside for some biking and maybe even some outdoor backpacking that will all be hosted and led by
Wonderful.
Safe.
Yeah.
So really exciting.
Great. That's a nice uplifting note.
And you know, that's sort of with the Sand Creek Clubhouse idea is the same thing, but we're talking about isolation. And I think what most of us have observed is those people that are dealing with mental health conditions tend to feel isolated, they become more isolated. And so, and then there's a stigma in the social interaction of the stigma that of how do you interact when you feel so disenfranchised and alienated and different than everyone around you. And that is the nature of what the clubhouse does. It's just a place where you can become a member with no fees, just come in and begin to build a social network of people who are also dealing with it, and just so that there is social interaction. And that clubhouse model is more on the social, but with a structure involved, that begins to form the structure. And that's, I think, what happens a lot with mental illness is you basically lose the structure of your life. You're alienated, this is the structure with the idea that with the clubhouse that you're leading to the ability to start to interact in a work structure. It's very casual, but it's a work structure, and it is a structure at the clubhouse, and then that can lead to potentially and hopefully to job opportunities. Mm-hmm.
So how does someone who themselves or they know of someone who would benefit from the services of the clubhouse, how do they engage?
It's quite simple. I mean, it's 514 North 4th, and you just simply need to walk in the door. They're open Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. Okay. And all you need to do is walk in the door and introduce yourself. Okay. And they will, at that point, and that can be if you are a family member and you are interested, you're welcome to walk in and get a tour of the facility, meet the staff. Okay. And so it's very casual, easy to do if you can get to Sandpoint on North 4th.
Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a phone number or an email where someone can contact if they're not able to during those days or hours?
Well, and the easiest way is start off with going to nami4north.org. Okay. And that if you do that, then you'll find the link to Sand Creek Clubhouse.
Well, we're coming close to the end of the hour. Any final thoughts? And then we'll wrap up with a review of the week's activities. And Steve, you're talking, so why don't you just continue? Any final thoughts? And we'll give the last word to Andrea.
Well, more than anything else, I think I just truly would like to encourage the community, both if you are a person impacted or have a friend or a family member who's impacted, is to engage with the community around you and encourage the engagement, encourage the social interaction with a peer group, and that's what NAMI Far North the Third Wednesday is all about, and that's at the VFW. But also reach out. Don't reach out to Kiniksu and reach out to the staff they've got. And the thing that with Kiniksu is they are a community health organization and they have sliding scales so it becomes an affordable avenue that has not been in this community before.
Okay. Good thought.
Yeah. I just want to say thanks for having Safe on. And we love any opportunity we can to kind of make people more aware that we exist. Mm-hmm. And I would say now that we have really formalized our organization, we will be offering more and more year-round programming. We just finished a kind of a full year of programming calendaring, and we're slowly releasing that on our website. So, you know, once again, to find those resources and those options and activities, go to www.safe-idaho.org. If you just Google Safe Idaho, it'll come up. We also have an Instagram handle, which is just @SafeIdaho. And those are great ways to stay engaged. We have a email kind of newsletter. And I think while we have a great group of volunteers and people who have evolved through the lens of Sandpoint Pride, we are still looking for people to step up and come up with ideas. And so this isn't some really rigid structure that you have to find the perfect way to plug into. If you have an idea, we're listening.
It's continuing to evolve.
It's evolving. We are looking for board members and leaders who want to be a part of different programs. So from, like, you know, the four buckets for us are, you know, kind of the pride and the joy piece and the annual event that we have that is kind of our cornerstone celebration. But then the Pride Outside programming year round, we're going to be doing workshops and putting on educational opportunities, both for our allies and the queer community themselves. And and then also some just fun cultural events. One of the things that we're looking to do is build an authentic queer culture in our community. And that just means that it's not some prescribed day that we all can say, oh, we go to Pride. It's not just living in one 24-hour experience, but it's part of the fabric of Sandpoint's culture. And I think we're seeing community members feel safer and safer to step forward. So just excited to have partners in the Mental Health Week and kind of uplift SAFE as a new organization, working with a population that's pretty impacted. So thanks for the partnership, Steve.
Andrea. Good job on your part.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, do we want to take a quick rundown of the activities, October 1 to 4?
Well, once again, Andrea, I'll let you lead off because you have the first event of that week.
Yeah, join us if you are a teen or have a teen and want to bring them somewhere fun and safe. We'll be at Evans Brothers on Wednesday, October 1st from 4:30 to 6 p.m. It'll be a teen crafternoon focused on community gathering and just conversation, focus on mental health and doing something together. We will be providing materials and snacks. Once again, Evans Brothers in Sandpoint.
Okay.
And then on Thursday night, the Ethan Murray Fund and Foundation is bringing together a film at the Panada Theater, and that is at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6 for that event, and that will be receive more feature on the radio soon. Then on Friday night, NAMI Far North is bringing in Miriam Feldman, and she is a person who is an advocate for mental health and the resources of mental health, but she has been impacted personally. She has understanding, so she's a speaker. She'll be speaking for the program starts at 6 o'clock, runs to 7:30. She's a very engaging speaker, knowledgeable, understands personal impacts, appropriate program for a professional in the field of mental health, but also anyone, it would be insightful for anyone who is impacted in any way with mental health conditions. That's at the Little Panada Theater on Friday night, 6 p.m. Then on Saturday, it is NAMI Walk, and that is registration begins at 9:30 at Matchwood Brewing. And it's a two-hour program. There will be speakers. Andrea was very kind to fill in for me with Amy Midstock and Don Mara. Rob Pierce will have his band playing there, and that is One Dog Down. There'll be coffee and refreshments after that, but it's a good social gathering, talking and gathering and just sharing community, the social, the mental health aspects of community for all of us there. And then that Saturday is followed up with Winter Ridge has a program. And that begins at 11 o'clock at Winter Ridge, and that's their vendor, their neighborhood fair. That's an annual event for them. So that makes a pretty full day for Saturday for community events.
It should be just a very, very interesting week. Encourage folks who are in the area listening to turn out for one or more of the events.
Please do.
If you've just tuned in, we've spent the hour this morning on the morning show talking about the Sandpoint Mental Health Awareness Week with Steve Platt from NAMI Far North, Andrea Marcaccio from SAFE. That's going to about wrap it up for today's morning show. If you're a fan, tune back in Wednesday and Thursday for more guests, and we'll take it out with a little bit of music.